kinds of things over the last several weeks. So maybe he's got back on the right track.
Let me explain myself just a little bit. One of the classes, or actually it's a series of classes that we teach in the college, is a Christian apologetics. And, you know, people get all tore up about that term apologetics, but it's simply apologetics means in defense of. It's in defense of the faith. And we have a series of classes that we teach where the students they divide up into groups, and they will study a certain aspect. For instance, one of the ones Brother Steve was talking about was, is Jesus the only way to heaven? And so this particular team put together scripture, historical facts, scientific facts, different things, and presented a case that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And the way this plays out in class is in a structured debate format, and I was the opposing side that did the same thing but said Jesus is not the only way to heaven. Yeah. Very tough to do for a preacher. However, over the years, we've asked our students what they thought about these classes and how they helped. And these classes, maybe more than any other ones we do, people, they tell us, now we know why we believe what we believe. So very interesting. But I would say 90% of the time, if I'm involved in one of the debates, I'm taking the opposite side of the negative side away from the scripture. So it's a little different. But if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John, one of the first of John's three epistles. Book of 1 John. Going to be a little different this morning in the fact that we're not going to do an expository type sermon over covering several verses. We're going to be on one verse, Lord willing, maybe a couple of going here and there, but we're going to look at one verse in particular in 1 John. And we could really spend a whole series of sermons on this one verse. We're going to try to get through it this morning. 1 John, chapter number 1, verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Father, as we come before you again, thank you for the day. Lord, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come to your house, Lord, to fellowship, Lord, to worship. Father, I pray, Lord, give me the unction. Lord, give me the words, Lord, the ability to, Lord, to preach this message that you've laid on my heart, Lord, that so it penetrates, Lord, my brothers and sisters' hearts and my heart, and Lord, just bears fruit, Lord, for you, your kingdom. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at this, folks, on this one phrase. God is light. And on the surface, it seems so simple. God is light. And it really is. This one thing this does, it shows us the simplicity of God. But like everything else in the scripture, there is so much more to it. And it's really interesting because over the past several months, the past couple of months, I've had several people who have asked me, what does that mean? When it said God is light, does that mean he's like a ray of light or like a sunshine? What does that mean? And we have a tendency, right? We have a tendency many times to take a verse like this that says God is light and do nothing with it except spiritualize it. Yeah. We have a tendency to say God is light. And there's that a spiritual aspect there. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And so we have this tendency just to say, well, all that means is that light is good, darkness is bad. So in God, there's all goodness and no bad, right? Well, and that's true. But that's the surface. I mean, that's the thinnest layer of truth that the Scripture is providing. So, when somebody asks, what does it mean when God is light? What are we going to tell them? Are we going to leave them with this simple first layer and say, well, that just means God is good and He's not bad at all? Or are we going to open up the Scripture to them and are we going to say, God is so much more. It is so much deeper to what it means when God is light. John also says God is love. John also says God is spirit. But here he says God is light. And this is almost unique to John in the way that he describes God. Now, we're not in the Gospel of John now, but this is the same writer that wrote the Gospel of John. And when we look at the Gospels and how the Gospel writers describe Jesus or describe God, there's a big difference between Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John. The synoptic writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they tend to describe Jesus in terms of what He did or what He said, right? A lot of actions, which is important. We need to know that. But John tends to describe Jesus in who He is, right? Gives us a deeper understanding of the nature of Christ. That's what John does. And that carries over into his other writings, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. But here, in 1 John chapter number 1, he says, God is light. Now, like I said, this is simple on the surface. So we're going to start with this first level or first layer of truth. It was Adrian Rogers. I know I've told you all this before, but it's so important and it goes hand in hand with what we're going to look at today. Adrian Rogers said that the Word of God is shallow. It's like a pool that's shallow enough at one end where a child can come and drink without fear of drowning, yet deep enough that a scholar could swim in it for the rest of their life and never touch the bottom. We're going to start in the shallow end, and we're going to move towards that deeper end here in the next little bit. So what are some simple truths about God is light? Well, we've seen, the very first simple truth, God is light. Light is good, darkness is bad. That theme runs throughout Scripture. Okay? But also, let's think about this. Nothing is hidden in the light. Okay? Simple truth. Light reveals, darkness hides. So, what does that mean when we're looking at God? We're looking about God. Well, for one thing, God has not hidden Himself from us. God has not hidden Himself from the world. David writes in the 19th Psalm, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Paul writes in Romans 1:20, he says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God has not hidden Himself from the world. Well, what does that mean? That means that we have a God who we don't have to try and turn over rocks to try to find. We have a God that we don't have to go and chase down and look behind closed doors to try to find. We have a God that we don't have to worry about hoping to find Him one day. He reveals Himself to us. That's what light does. It reveals. But conversely, on the flip side of that, light also reveals the fact that nothing is hidden from God. Light shines on things and reveals the things that were once hidden by darkness or the absence of light. Hebrews 4:13 says, Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. Now, what does that mean? What does that verse mean? There's some words or some phrasing that we're not really used to in Hebrews there, right? Manifest unto him, that means revealed is the way. And we kind of get that when we see that a lot. But that last little phrase there, in whom we have to do. What does that mean? Well, in the Greek, that phrase we have to do is two words, hemon logos. Hemon logos. And it simply means this, to give an account to. That's what that means. To give an account to. So what is that verse? What is that verse saying? That no one or nothing is hidden from his sight. All is revealed to him. And the one that it is revealed to is the one that one day all will have to give an account to. Right? Think about that. Everyone in this room, whether you know God or not, will face him one day and give an account to him. And this account isn't going to be an account that you give to try so he can determine what you have done. To try and go to court where evidence will be presented in the fact of trying to draw out the truth of what has happened in our lives. He already knows that. This account that we'll give, whether it be at the great white throne judgment for those that are not saved, or the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ for those that are, we will stand face to face with the Creator, right? Who will know exactly everything that we have done in our life, every thought that we have had, every word that we have uttered, for every motive and every reason why we have done that. It will not be to try and draw out the truth. It will be to expose the truth. And that is what light does. So nothing is hidden in the light. God has not hid himself from the world. Nothing in the world is hidden from God. God is light. Light also shows the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty. So God is light. How in the world does that show his sovereignty? The opposite of light is darkness. Light always, always overcomes darkness. Think about it. The tiniest spark cuts away the darkness in the darkest room. Right? You're in a cave. No windows. You're way down several twists and turns where there is no sunlight at all. Pitch black. Where you can't see your hand in front of your face. And you strike a match. That one match overpowers that darkness, right? Everybody agree with that? Pretty simple to understand, right? But does it work the other way? Does darkness ever overcome light? It can't. The only way darkness would overcome light is for you to extinguish that light. When light is present, it always, always overcomes darkness. Shows the sovereignty, light shows the sovereignty of God. So that's a simple explanation of God is light. That's that surface truth that we find in the Scripture. When we open God's Word and pray and let the Holy Spirit just speak to our hearts so we can understand. So now we're going to dig a little deeper, okay? We're going to dig a little deeper, and we're going to see how God's nature, okay, how His nature itself is revealed in the light. How is God's nature revealed in the light? Let's ask ourselves first, what is light? And we may get, this may get a little thick for a couple of minutes. So I ask you to stay with me, okay? Stay with me, because I promise that at the end, Lord willing, the Holy Spirit will just open some things up to us, right? That's really going to help us. So what is light? The first thing we need to see is, or we need to know, that pure light is invisible. You say, what? What are you talking about? Pure light in and of itself is invisible. You say, well, that can't be. I mean, I see lights all around. I see the lights on the chandeliers. I see the lights over the choir. No, we're not seeing the rays of light. What we are seeing is the things that the light is reflecting off of. That's what light is. Light is are different rays, okay, that come out. There's several types we're going to talk about, but they're actually different types of rays that come out. We look at the sun, and we say, well, I see the sun. I see the light from the sun. Well, that may be true in a sense, but you do not see the light rays, the actual light itself. What you're seeing when you look at the sun, which you shouldn't do, but you look at it, you see a big ball of gas emitting energy, right? But what's interesting is, imagine if you were to go out in space, okay? And here's the sun right here, and this is the earth. And you have this light coming off of the sun and shining onto the earth, right? And you were to stand kind of away from the two looking at this, in our minds, I think we think of a lot of times that it would look like a flashlight. You know, you have a flashlight and you have a beam, and there's a big old beam of light that comes out hitting the earth. Well, that's not what you would see. What would you see? You would see darkness. You don't see the rays of light. You can't see the light from the sun until you get into the earth's atmosphere, where those invisible rays can bounce off of the molecules in the air that we can, so we can visibly see it, right? Everybody with me? Not like a flashlight, not like a beam of light shining onto the earth. If that were the case, then the whole heavens would be lit up. We wouldn't have a night sky, because light would be emitting from all directions and everywhere, and everything would just be bright all the time. But the reason space is dark is because space is a vacuum. There's nothing in space for these molecules or for these light rays to bounce off of. Light is invisible. What in the world does that have to do with God? What does it have to do with God? You see, we cannot see God, can we? Scripture says throughout that we cannot see God. However, right in Hebrews tells us this. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Listen to this. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. What does that say? That means that God, who we cannot see, sent His Son, who is the express image, or a die cut, an exact copy, to earth so we could see Him. And when we look at Jesus, we see God. We see God through Jesus Christ. as the express image. The same way that as rays of light are invisible, the only way that we see light is when it is reflected off of something else. God sent His Son so that we could see Him through Him. God is light. Even the scientific nature of light that God created, God ordained how this would work, shows us the relation between the Father and His Son. It points us to the incarnation of Christ, who would come as the express image, because we cannot see God, but we can see His Son. What else? God is light. Another characteristic of light is this. How many of you have ever seen a rainbow? How many of you have ever seen light as it goes through a prism or through a diamond, perfect cut piece of glass? What does light do? We see the color. You think of the colors of the rainbow, right? They're always the same colors. There's always the same amount of colors in there. When light goes through a prism, light is refracted off of a surface that separates these rays of light, that these invisible rays, it separates them out so that they, to us, appear as different colors. Well, it's interesting. You know how many colors there are in sunlight? There's 7. Always 7 colors. Throughout Scripture, what you see is that 7 is the number of completion, or the number of perfection, right? Keep that in mind for a second. By the way, at the top of this visible light that we see, the top end, is the color violet or purple, okay? The lower end, the lowest end of the color spectrum that we see, is red. You go above violet, and you get into colors or rays of light that we can't see, and you get into what's called, the next one is ultraviolet, and below red we can't see is infrared light. But think of that 7. Let's think about that. The number of perfection, the number of completion. What was the token that God gave Noah after the flood? You ever wonder why it was a rainbow? Why a bow? I mean, why he, of all the millions of things that he could have picked in the world to give this token to man after he had destroyed mankind in the world with the flood, he says, I set my bow in the clouds. Why is that? All the way back in Genesis, what we're seeing is God trying to show for generations to come, as we began to understand and science begins to uncover things like this, to show I am God and I know what I'm doing. The bow, there's 7 colors of light always. I am light. And you put all these things together and you can start to really begin to get a deeper understanding of the nature of God. So you have the 7 visible colors in light. But also what you have, there are 3 different types of rays that come out of the sun, sunlight. 3 different classifications. Let's speak. By the way, some of this may be familiar to some of you if you've been in our Bible college before. M.R. DeHaan, in his book Chemistry of the Blood, one of the classes we teach, has a chapter on God is light. And very fascinating, very interesting stuff. But you have 3 different classifications or types of rays that come. The first type are called chemical rays. Chemical rays. Now, chemical rays they can't be felt at all, and they can't be seen by the human eye. Even the rays that are, they come in and are reflected and bounce off of things, our eye, the range of vision that we have in, as humans, we can't see chemical rays. An example of a chemical ray would be ultraviolet light that we talked about. Violet, remember, was at the top end of our spectrum that we can see. Ultraviolet is higher. We can't see it. Ultraviolet light is a chemical ray. The next type of ray that's emitted from the sun are called light rays. These are the ones that we can see. We can see light rays, but we can't feel them. We can see the light rays if we're in the Earth's atmosphere where they're bouncing off of molecules, hydrogen and nitrogen and oxygen, things like that. We can see those. That's why the sky's blue. We can see them, but we can't feel them. The last type are called heat rays. Now, heat rays, we can't see ever. They're below our range. What was our bottom range? See, red. So heat rays, we can feel them, but we can't see them. Infrared light would be an example of a light ray that is a heat ray. So what do these three attributes of light reveal to us when we read the verse, God is light? When the scripture says God is light, what are we talking about? Are we talking about God the Father? Are we talking about God the Son? Are we talking about God the Holy Spirit? Which one are we talking about? Well, in this case, we're talking about the one triune God, the Trinity. Right? Well, let's think about it a second. If God is revealing himself to us in the nature of light, then we start out, we have the chemical rays. Chemical rays, what did I say? They couldn't be seen or they couldn't be felt. Well, you say, oh, I feel God all the time. No, you don't. You don't feel God the Father. You feel God the Holy Spirit. Heat rays or chemical rays, you can't be seen. They can't be seen or felt. They correspond to God the Father, who can neither be seen, neither seen nor felt apart from the Holy Spirit. How about the light rays, the ones we can see? We can see light rays, right? But we can't feel. It's God the Son. Jesus is the light of the world. Even though we're living some 2,000 years later, we see him through God's word. He is revealed to us through the word of God. Right? But we can't feel Jesus apart from the Holy Spirit. What about the heat rays? That just leaves one, doesn't it? The heat rays are the rays that can be felt, but you cannot see them. It corresponds to God the Holy Spirit. You can't see the Holy Spirit. No one's ever seen the Holy Spirit. But you better be able to feel him if you're a believer. So the very nature of God, right? The very nature of the Trinity and the triune God is revealed through the attributes of light. God is light. Light can also, or light rays, can also be broken into two different categories. The sun gives off rays that are deadly. Deadly rays. These rays, there are certain rays of light that come from the sun that would kill any of us that were exposed to them. But at the same time, the sun also has these rays of light that are essential to life. You've got to have that sunlight. Well, the thing about it is, those rays are all mixed together that come out of the sun. You have deadly rays that kill, and then you have essential rays that you have to have coming out of the same source. Well, that's a problem, right? It would be if God hadn't created the earth the way he did. Because without some kind of protection, without some kind of barrier, without some kind of filter in place, no life could be sustained on earth. Because the sunlight that's coming from the sun with the rays, although it contains the essential rays we need for life, it also contains those that kill human things. So what God did in his wisdom and his sovereignty and when in creation, he created a shield, a barrier. We just call it our atmosphere, right? And God created it in such a way that our atmosphere reflects those, the majority or most of those deadly rays. Right? They hit, those invisible rays coming from the sun hit our atmosphere, and the deadly ones, the ones that are harmful to humans, bounce off our atmosphere. And they go back into space. But, our atmosphere is created in such a way that it lets that essential sunlight, that light, those rays that are essential for everything to live, come through. Okay. So how does that reveal the nature of God? If we're saying God is light and we're looking at the attributes and what scientifically light is, what does that tell us about God? Well, we can think of it like this. We can think of God, the deadly rays of the sun, okay, those deadly rays, as God's justice rays, okay? And these are two terms, actually, that DeHaan uses in his book. He calls them justice rays. Those are the deadly ones. These are the rays, the justice rays are the rays that require a payment for sin. God is holy. And in his holiness, sin can't stand before it without being overcome, without being a price to be paid. Kind of goes back to God is light and sin is darkness. You can't bring the darkness before God without it being consumed. And in this case, at the great white throne, you're going to be consumed by his wrath. So that's the justice. That's the deadly rays, is God's justice. But he also goes on to say that this other type, the essential rays that we need from the sun, DeHaan calls love rays. They're the rays that show God's love for his creation. For God so loved the world. Right? That show his love for his creation. He sent his son to die for his creation. Why? Because he loves the world. It's those rays that show God's desire to redeem this creation to himself. Because something had to be done, right? Something had to be done because man had a problem, or man has a problem. Because men, women, we're fallen creatures. Right? No matter how hard we try, no matter what we do, we cannot stand up against the holiness of God. And by his very nature of who he is, because of that holiness, our sinfulness required that a price be paid. There needed to be a payment. There needed to be something done, in other words, because of our sin, so that we can stand before God in his holiness. So that was a problem. But God's love for us, is kind of like those essential rays coming in. How does that help us in our problem? If his justice were to strike, those were the only rays that got through, it would mean our eternal destruction, right? So a way had to be found for his justice to be fully satisfied, yet filtered out, and also at the same time let his love flow freely to those who trust in Him. In Jesus, we have this provision. He satisfied the just demands of God's law, and He took the wrath of God for us. In other words, just as God, when He was creating the physical world we live in, and He created the sun who emits both these deadly rays of light and these essential rays of light, worked it out to where our atmosphere filters out and deflects the bad stuff, but lets the good stuff flow completely in. He did the same thing in Christ, where He provided Him to deflect those justice rays, deflect those rays that would spell our eternal destruction, yet at the same time lets that love, those love rays, so to speak, flow completely in to those that trust in Him. God is light. God is light. I want to close with this. There's a substance that emits rays of light that we can't see. It's an invisible light to us. It's out of our spectrum of sight. It's called radium. Radium is so powerful. The rays that it emits is so powerful. The example that was given was if you took a piece of radium no bigger than the tip of a lead pencil, like this, and laid it on a table in the middle of a room, put a bunch of people in that room, none of them would make it out alive. Those justice rays, so to speak, those rays that come out of that radium are so deadly, even the slightest amount will kill anyone that's exposed to it. But there was a problem that scientists saw, because they found that radium was also good. It was beneficial for some diseases, things like cancer, things like that. That it could kill cancer cells. It could kill, you know, it could help with imaging to show inside of people's bodies, these lights, that it could help with those things. But you couldn't get it around anybody because it was so deadly. So they figured out a way to encapsulate tiny, tiny amounts of radium in a substance. And this way, what happened was, all the deadly rays, or those justice rays, they don't make it out. But all the good stuff gets to flow through it. Now you would think that this substance that they use to block the deadly effects of these radium rays would just be just this, you know, gold or platinum or silver, something that, I mean, just off the charts, that's only available to a few people. Do you know that we use? We use lead. Common lead. It's available to everyone. Rich or poor, it doesn't matter. It's available to all. You don't have to have a huge bank account to go out and get you a bit of lead. You don't have to know the right people to go and get you some lead. But see, God reveals Himself to us through that, in that what lead does is it blocks those deadly rays, but lets every bit of the good stuff pass through. And in God's nature, it's available to everyone, no matter. Just like Christ. Doesn't matter if you're rich. Doesn't matter if you're poor. Doesn't matter what your family name is. It doesn't matter where you work. God hasn't hidden Himself from us, and He's made that salvation available to all. Freely given. Freely given to those who will accept. Brother Steve, do you want to do the invitation, or do you want me to? Okay. If your musicians will come. I know that got a little thick in a couple of parts. But I hope you really were able to understand that the Scripture goes so much deeper. When John writes, God is light. And while they're getting ready to play, let me tell you the interesting thing about that. Okay? 2,000 years ago, we didn't know all this stuff, did we? I didn't have any idea. And it seems, in the world we live in, that there are people that as science begins to advance, okay, they take the stance that the more we learn about nature, the more we learn about science, right, the further that moves this old thinking about God to the side, right? We're so advanced now in our scientific thinking and the way that we understand things that we no longer need books like the Bible. We no longer have to believe in a God that created everything because we can believe this or we can believe that. But let me tell you, the Scripture, when you dig into it, tells you just the opposite. The more that we learn about science, the more God is revealing Himself to us. And you know what? This right here, He didn't do that for Christians 2,000 years ago or 1,500 years ago or even 500 years ago or 50 or 60 years ago. He did this for us today. Because in His sovereignty, He knew that we would uncover all of this stuff, and He is continually revealing Himself to us, generation after generation. God is light.